Welcome to Beyond Electricity Bills. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Colleen Francis, and I'm a local person, and I do a lot of community work and voluntary work. I'm also a carer for my dad. I have five children and seven grandchildren. I have twin daughters, and one of my twin daughters has twin babies.
Wow.
So I also have twin grandbabies.
So seven and counting then, really?
Oh, I hope not. Seven's a lucky number, let's leave it at that.
Excellent, I like that. Well, thank you again for agreeing to do this for me. So we've gone past the 1st of October.
Yep.
How were you feeling, or how are you feeling about the increased energy prices?
Oh dear, it's really worrying. It's really, really worrying. You know what I mean? It's not. I mean, obviously, I have my concerns because my electricity bill has gone up. I'm on a pay-as-you-go meter that I've been on for a very, very long time, years and years and years and years. And actually, it was when I was in debt with my electricity at one point that they put that meter in. But I've actually left it in because I know where I am with my usage, and you know, with how much I need to be putting aside for the electric. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, I understand that.
So it has sort of helped me, although I am aware that people with meters actually are paying a little bit more than other people. You know what I mean? But it suits me. It suits me. So that's what I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I understand that.
I have found that I'm turning things off that I'm, whereas before, you know, I'd leave the laptop plugged in, you know, it was already charged, but I'd leave it plugged in, so that doesn't get left on now. It gets charged and then taken out and gets recharged when it needs charging and taken straight back out, you know. So it's those little things really that make the difference. And you know, being quicker in the shower, making sure the washing machine's full before you switch it on, you know what I mean? It's just those little things, you know. I mean, I don't use electric for cooking, I use gas, but I remember one of my ex-sister-in-laws, she used to always cut everything up really small when she boiled it, you know, like potatoes and yam and carrots and veg, all that sort of thing. It was always cut up really, really small, and she explained it that, well, it's cheaper because you're not using as much gas or electric to boil it, you know what I mean?
That so is true.
It's just those little things, you know what I mean, that can make the difference, you know.
So that we don't think about, but
Yeah, exactly. The thing that concerns me is families. Yeah, so because I'm on my own, so it's not so bad. I can really control what I'm using. But you know, with families, with children, you know, and they've got lights on, you know, they're having to have showers, they're having to have baths, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're sort of like using the electricity, you know, with the laptop for schoolwork, homework and things like that. So that's the people who I really feel sorry for with these bills increasing, you know what I mean? Those that have got no choice, you know, and they've got to use the electricity, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, your increased in your utility bills, was it quite a significant? Because I've heard some really horror stories about some people.
Do you know, I can't honestly say that I've noticed it affecting me massively at the moment, yeah. But that might be something to do with not having the heating on. You know, just putting on, sometimes people laugh at me, I call it my house coat, and it's this fluffy thing that's really, really warm, but I just put that on if I'm feeling a bit chilly, you know what I mean? And the other thing is going to bed a bit earlier to keep warm, you know what I mean? So I've not, at the moment, I can say that I've not noticed significant that it's really causing me a problem. So I would say, when I've checked it, because I've been keeping an eye on it, I'm probably putting in about £6 a week more into the meter than I would have done, you know what I mean, before October.
Okay. I know you said that you've already shared some things about your house coat, not putting the heating on, and cutting food smaller. Is there anything else that you're doing?
Just like I say, you know what I mean? Getting out of the shower quicker, having a quicker shower, and making sure that the washing machine is full, you know what I mean, before I switch it on. So, saving up everything until I've got a full load to put in there. So, I think that's with the electricity, that's about, you know what I mean, all that I'm really doing at the moment. But I know when the weather turns a bit colder, I know I'm going to be sort of like really regulating how often I put the heating on and what setting it's on, you know.
Yeah. Does that make you feel a bit anxious?
It does, actually, yeah, because I don't like being cold. I really don't like being cold, and I think, you know, as you get older, you do tend to feel the cold more.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's okay layering up, but who really feels comfortable with all those layers of clothes on? Because I know I don't.
It's true.
You know?
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I what I've done is I've invested in one of those body warmers that fits into the laptop.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go, you know what I mean? Get the thermals out, you know, if you can afford to buy them. Yes. You know, if you can afford to buy them in the first place, you know.
Yeah. Well, true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. And I know that, I'm my dad's carer, so I'm, you know, my dad's sort of full-time carer. And, you know, I think that I'm lucky in a way because Dad will drop me, a 10 or £20, you know what I mean? Because he knows himself as well that, you know, the cost of living's going up. And of course, I drive. So, you know, when Dad drops me extra money, it goes in the car for petrol, which ultimately helps me with my other bills because I'm not spending the money on those.
Of course, definitely. And that's really kind of him to recognise.
Yes.
Your need,
yes.
Even though you're providing a need for him, you're helping him, but he's recognising your need as well. That's really kind and very thoughtful of him.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like I do his shopping for him now. He used to always come with me, but he's not able to now. So I just go and do the shopping. And when I come back with the receipt and go, look, Dad, that's gone up. Look, that was so-and-so. That was that much last week. And so he's realising, you know what I mean, that even though he's not getting out into the shops himself, he can see that, you know, prices are going up.
Yeah. Well, that leads me on to my next question, really, because I was going to ask you, you know, what are your thoughts? And has it changed your shopping experience?
Most definitely. My eldest son lives in the Philippines. He moved there about 15 years ago. He got sick of this country and sold his house, went on the internet, looked for somewhere cheap to live. The Philippines came up top of the list and off he went. Yeah. So when he brought his wife over, so he's married to a girl who's half Filipino and half Nigerian. And when he brought her over, she's a doctor, his wife. And when he brought her over, he took her in the kitchen. He went, look, he opened the cupboards. Yeah, the kitchen cupboards. He went, look, what did I tell you? My mum is a food order. Because you would always come to back. My cupboards were always full. You know, we're going back about 3-4 years, yeah, before COVID, yeah. Anyway, so and she started laughing, obviously, you know what I mean, about the cupboards being full and the fridge being full. But it was just something I always did, and I think it's, you know, having 5 kids, you always make sure you've got food in the house, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think if he came here now, yeah, and opened my cupboards, he'd go, whoa, Mum, what's going on? You know what I mean? Because I don't do that anymore. I don't buy more than what I need.
Understand.
You know, I do my meal planning, yeah, for the week, and I buy just what I need. And you very often find me eating 2 days of cooking food and eating it for 2 days, having the same dinner. over 2 days, you know what I mean? So, and I also cook for Dad, so I do the same with Dad as well. Uh-huh. He gets the same dinner for 2 days, which he don't mind, you know what I mean? He's old school. So, and you know what it's like, Sharon? Sometimes you cook the food, and it actually tastes better the next day.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm with you on that one. I do the same.
So it's like I'm not really using any extra gas or electricity to cook for Dad, you know, because I'm cooking for myself as well, you know what I mean? So cutting everything up small, baby size bites.
So has it left you reverting back to the old days? Like, I can't see you doing this, but I'm asking anyway.
Yeah,
making pizza bases baking cakes, perhaps, maybe. Yeah. Has it inspired you to do anything like that?
I don't. I'm not a baker at all. Yeah, apple crumble's about my limit. Yeah, okay. But I'm not a baker. But I do cook. Yeah, mm-hmm. And. What I do find myself doing is, like, so, you know, like if I cook mutton for a Sunday dinner, mm-hmm. I always buy more and I cook it all at the same time, and then I freeze, you know what I mean? So I'll use what I need to use for that meal, and then I'll freeze the rest, so it's like enough for two meals. And again, it's saving money with the cooking, because you're cooking it all at the same time, you know what I mean? So I do a lot of that. I do a lot of cooking and freezing, you know what I mean? Especially the meat sort of things.
Yeah. So in terms of, I know you spoke about your dad recognising the increased costs and everything. Who do you think are most vulnerable at the moment, and do you think it has to be done?
My dad's actually okay, because he's got he's made sure his pensions were all in order, mm-hmm. and everything. So my dad's actually okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, for me, it is some of these elderly that are on state pensions, you know what I mean? There's no pension increase and everything else, mm-hmm. yeah. And also, like I said before, the families, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And especially like the families that are on benefits or are on low income, you know, and having to have their wages topped up with benefits, it's those people that I really feel sorry for.
Yeah.
You know.
And finish.
Go on. I was going to say, rather than, you know, somebody sort of like me, who's, you know, sort of like still of a working age, mm-hmm. but, you know, actually, you know, isn't working because they're a carer, you know.
Yeah. Have you heard about any organisations that are doing anything? Because I saw one the other day in the Chase.
Yes.
They're opening up their door from 9 to 5 every day, and then providing soup, hot soup one day a week.
Yes.
Have you heard about anyone else doing anything like that? Because I think that's fantastic, that is.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. I think I saw something, I think it's the Trussell Trust, or it might be Himma, actually. Okay. One of those organisations that are doing the same sort of thing. I think I saw it on Facebook, or so, you know what it's like, Facebook. Okay. I think what the St Anne's Advice Centre is doing with the warm up, I think it's a brilliant idea. And, you know, I know the Chase Neighbourhood Centre. I actually used to manage it in my working life.
Okay.
Yeah, when I worked for the City Council. You know, it is a lovely place. It's really nice. The people are really nice, you know what I mean? So, and there's a cafe there that does really cheap food, you know, so basic food. So, you know, them opening that up and doing the warm-up and, you know, having the soup and everything available, I just think it's brilliant, and it's so needed, you know, not just in St Anne's, in all areas, because it's not just people in St Anne's that are suffering with it.
I agree with you.
So I think I heard something as well about Asda. Asda were doing a soup and a roll, and as many hot drinks as you like for people over 60.
Oh,
And I've heard of some of the supermarkets and that have cafes and other places that are doing meals for children.
That's either, really good.
Yeah, either really cheap or or you pay a pound or something, you know what I mean? Or kids eat free or something like that.
Yeah.
With a parent.
That's really good that the community are doing something.
Yes.
Instead of waiting for help elsewhere.
Yes.
As a community. I mean, I know we saw some of that when the pandemic happened, but sometimes people forget, and it's great to see that this is what's happening within the community. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, because talk about when, you know, when the pandemic hit, I got involved with the Marcus Garvey Action Group. I don't know if you've heard of them. I went to a meeting when that was called, because there was which was just before COVID, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the council were threatening to close the Marcus Garvey Day Centre. And as we know, that is a provision for our black elders, you know what I mean? So it's like, no, they can't do this, you know what I mean? So I went along to the meeting, the first meeting that they had, and it's like, well, what can we do? I think I can't remember if it was, you know, during COVID or if it was just before. Anyway, so I went along to the meeting and I'm like, look, what can I do? I've got skills. How can I help? You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it turned out that then, I think COVID it afterwards, and we started a meal delivery service for the elders and for vulnerable people. So that's what came out of it. So I got tasked with doing some admin and, you know, at one point, and they got volunteer drivers to deliver these meals, they were being cooked at the centre. At a real discounted price, and these meals were being given out free in the beginning, so we were able to do that. And you know, I remember when I first started, there was 130 people that we were delivering meals to on a Sunday. So that's now dwindled down, but it is all done by volunteers. You know, the drivers are just fantastic. Even though, you know, the fuel prices went up, they still committed to taking these meals out to the elderly, you know what I mean? So, and it's Monica Tucker who cooks the meals at the moment and, you know, getting really good feedback on it. But again, they're struggling for drivers to actually do the deliveries, you know? Because people have gone back, it was okay during COVID, but people have gone back to work now. So, you know, it's about fitting it in around work, you know. So you know, that sort of service is still going. And it's like, that's changed now. It started because of COVID, but it's still needed now because of the cost of living crisis.
Of course.
So, you know, there are things, like I said, there was a lot going off out in the community. And also the St. Thomas Advice Centre have a food bank. They have a food bank, and I was working as community development worker in the area, and that was I was one of the people who instigated that and got that set up, helped them to set that up.
Thank you.
Yeah, back in the day. So, you know, and they, because I have good relations with Debbie and the workers down at the Chase, and they've said what a massive increase they've had in people accessing the food bank, you know. So, and that's just going to get worse, you know. It's going to be even more needed, especially with this cost of living stuff. Yeah. So.
And in terms of the interest rates, I mean, because I don't know whether you've got a mortgage or anything.
No,
or
I've not got a mortgage.
Rent. I'm rented. Okay. I was going to say, is that...
I'm in rent.
That's good.
Yeah. But I feel sorry for people with the, you know, with the mortgages and their interest rates going up, you know what I mean? With the interest rates going up, because I've been reading up a little bit about it, and it was saying that some people are going to be having to find £600 a month extra.
What?
Yeah, £600 a month extra. I mean, they must have a big mortgage and a beautiful house.
Yeah.
But if people want those things and they could afford them when they you know, took those mortgages out, It's not fair that they're now having to find that extra money. Where are they going to get it from? You know, for me, people are already working full time, and you know, some of those people have got kids, some of them have got extra jobs, how are they going to possibly be able to earn any extra money to cover that? You know, I think what I see is a lot of people are going to become, they're going to lose their properties, they're going to lose their house, you know what I mean, which will then impact on the rental market, you know what I mean, because they'll have to find somewhere to rent. You know, it could even mean that some people will end up homeless.
Yes,
you know, so
sadly, I think that there might be an increase there. In fact, I was going to ask you, in amongst all this, how do you remain positive, or is there anything that you're doing? Because there's reports that's going to be increased, at least, should I say, mental health issues and possibilities suicides as well, because of the impending people who are paying rent, that's going up, and obviously people who've got debts, that's going to be increased, mortgages, and so. And obviously, with everything else going up, there's reports that that's the horrible side of it all, I think, and the worrying side of it all, is that what are you doing yourself to remain positive?
Just making sure that I'm keeping myself busy, to be honest with you, you know what I mean? So I'm making sure, I mean, like I said, I turned into a Black History Month social butterfly this month. And do you know what? I've really felt the benefits on my mental health for that. You know, just being around other people, you know what I mean? Doing something different, taking myself out of the, you know, the norm sort of thing, you know what I mean? The drudgery, shall we call it, you know? Because sometimes it can be a bit of a drudgery, you know what I mean? Just trying to survive, you know, and keep yourself going. So, yeah, I think mental health-wise, it is about, you know, making the most of, you know, what's going on out there and getting yourself out to things, you know what I mean? Get to that warm up, get to those warm ups, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go and talk to other people, you know,
absolutely.
Understand that, you know, a lot of other people are going through the same thing as you, you know, and is that a problem shared? Is a problem halved?
Yeah.
You know, so for me, that's what I would encourage people to do, to do more. And of course, you know, the NHS is there. Talk to your doctor if you need to. You know, if you feel you can, that is, you know, and just, you know, those helplines, things like that, that are out there, you know what I mean? It's like just talking to you today, Sharon, you know what I mean? It's that, it is that problem of, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, it's not just me who's in this situation. We're all in the same boat. Just like everybody pulled together during COVID. People just need to pull together, you know.
Yes, I'm with you on that one, definitely.
Yeah,
and you're right, talking is key, and not trying anyway, not to isolate yourself, and and being open as well, because sometimes people suffer but are reluctant to say anything about it.
That's right, you know what I mean? I totally agree with you there. A lot of people won't actually, you know, admit that they're struggling, or you know, go and seek some help, you know what I mean? Or not even, and support, really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like we're saying, it is key, you know what I mean? Keep in contact with people. Yeah. Don't isolate yourself, you know.
Wow, thanks, Colleen. Is there anything else, or
any more tips?
Yeah.
Just keep yourself safe.
What was that one? Sorry.
Keep yourself safe, you know.
Well, true.
And happy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Try and focus on the positives, and, you know, because I think a lot of the time we're all like, oh, woe is me, you know what I mean? It's not fair, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Try and just fix your focus on the positives that are in your life, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because sometimes we don't actually see what's under our nose, you know, what we've actually got, what we are blessed with, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, because I mean, my grandkids, yeah, they get on my nerves sometimes, yeah. Well, no, they don't, the parents do, and they're like, can you babysit then?
Can you babysit
overnight? And can they have a sleepover? Like, hang on a minute, do you think I've not got a life?
Yeah, yeah, of course you haven't.
But you know, they're just lovely to have because they're just so innocent, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it just make me smile, you know. They make me smile. Keep me active as well.
Yeah. Listen, I understand totally.
So yeah, okay. So yeah. You know, it is just keep in contact with people, you know. And don't feel that you're on your own because you know you're not. There's a lot of people in the same situation and a lot of people in a lot worse situation, you know.
True. That is true.
So yeah.
Excellent, Colin.
Oh, I'm glad it was useful for you, Sharon.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's lovely talking to you, really.
Likewise. Likewise, as always.
Yes.